For those of you who wanted to get some SG3 today, gave you an opportunity. So we do what we do for the royal family. All right, let's be sure we're in fellowship, as always, and let's be sure that we are otherwise disposed to concentrate. Now, if you weren't here first session, you're out of the flow of this. You just have to make do. That's your punishment. And there's nothing I can do to make that up to you, because at this point, what I can do is, because I wanted to, is discuss this episode. I really personally get a thrill out of the stories of the people like this. These are real people, believers, who serve God in time. In this case, we have an example of serving God at a very high level with regard to this project, Operation Bride for Isaac. We're here at Genesis 24. Initiated by Abraham, and all the spiritual factors that are taken into consideration to make this work the way it did. First, of course, you have Abraham, a man who had reached old age. He wasn't decrepit, by the way. A man who is not, because of his original call of God, is not personally going to go back to his relatives in Mesopotamia. You're going to do it. See, this was so clear to him. This would be going back to my relatives, going back there for sentimental or any other kind of reasons. See how they're doing. Well, they're doing just like they were when you left. They're just older and different people. They're still a bunch of fundy reversionists who dabble in idolatry and walk around and say, "Praise the Lord." And they haven't changed. You know, I tried to take one of them with me, named Lot. How'd that work out? You know, God cuts us some slack. But anyway, so no, I'm not going back there. They don't have anything I need. But it's okay, really. It's okay to send a stranger. My right-hand guy, Eliezer. My get-it-done guy, the way I want it done, we never have a problem. He's proven himself from day one. He has now been promoted as a slave. Abraham owns him, but he doesn't treat him like dirt. He put him over his entire organization. When he purchased him, no doubt the guy was a young fellow. He'd served Abraham all these years. So Abraham says, I'm going to send you on assignment, and you're going to take an oath. You're going to do it like I want. Not Abraham didn't have to do this with a guy every time he sent him on an assignment. Crazy. This is special. This is super special. This is one of a kind. We're going to get a woman, and we're going to get it from a group of people that are basically our believers. But you go back to Mesopotamia, and you take the wealth on these camels. Eliezer put all that together, and you get back to Mesopotamia, and God will bless your efforts. So here is a man on a mission with his 10 camels and his bodyguard, and they're going back to Mesopotamia. For one thing, to come home with a bride. Eliezer Eliezer's this bit character, right, in a play. But he's anything but small potatoes. He comes out as somebody, you don't find people like this, with this kind of reliability. They're just not all over the place. So he arrives, on his long journey, he made a very specific prayer when he got there. It's really a great example of an Old Testament prayer, if you will. But he has a strategy. Everything's up here. This guy's got all this moxie. Where am I going to go into this town and find a female? Where am I going to meet females? I'm going to go door to door with an application form. Answer these questions. And it's like, I want to cut right through and get to it quick. But I got to have God on my side. All right, so part of it is his savvy nature. Well, I know where all the women are going to be in the evening. They're going to be bringing water back to their house. That's what the young women did. That was one of their, it was a cultural common chore thing. They'll all show up here at the well. He'd seen this. He knew that. It was common all over the Middle East. They'll be showing up at the well. Now, that doesn't mean that one's as good as the next. They're not. There's one out of that whole group that's perfect. Or I'm praying it is perfect. Perfect for this situation. For those young people who sit here and listen to this, and the unmarried types, you need to understand this. But some won't. You know, God may bless you anyway. You wait on the Lord for things. You pray about stuff. You don't get online and find some perfect match, you idiot. You know, singles in my area. People are imbeciles. I mean, they really are. Playing with fire. You wait on God. We don't play that. We who have doctrine and care about the truth, we don't play that game. We wait on God. And we'll wait on Him as long as we need to. We're not out here to make it happen. Stupid grandparents. Well, who is your girlfriend? Don't say anything stupid like that. You're not ready to have a girlfriend. You haven't even grown up yet. You can't even handle yourself, let alone a female. Okay? There's all these things are, well, our culture is just, all this is washed out. It's just non-existent. But you come to Bible doctrine and you start figuring things out. And you figure out the basic principles. Something as important as this in your life, you think you would recognize that, boy, God's got to be in this, and it's got to be crystal clear. It's got to be so clear it isn't funny. So he gets to the well. All the camels do their thing, kneel down. He prays, give me success today on behalf of my master, Abraham. He's acclimated to the chain of command and the authority of this man. But it's not an authority structure that is oppressive at all. But it's still there. and so he offers up what you call as specific a prayer without saying, tell me her name. Well, her name doesn't mean anything, per se. The name doesn't mean anything. The looks don't necessarily mean anything. What means something is her character. Now, how are we going to bring her character out? We're going to put her under this pressure, so to speak. But someone who has character, it's no pressure. You're just a genuine, you have no angles. You're a female, you have no angles. You're just a giving person. Even to a stranger, you're giving. And that is the note, is the thing that you note here. So he says in his prayer, now may it be that the girl, the damsel, to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink. That's an imposition. To a stranger. Take it off your shoulder and put it down. Water is not light. And I don't know how many gallons run one of those jars, typically. We have a picture of one of the Togo young women with this pot on her head walking just straight as an arrow, back like a board. Don't try this at home. I mean, they practice this. And they're able to just, without a tippet and falling, walk like an arrow. In this case, carrying them on their shoulder, which is not lightweight. And you have to have a certain posture. So, anyway. Then you got to put it down. And take some cup or something, hand a man a drink. That's one thing. And then I want you to also first of all, he initiates. He says, would you give me a drink of water there? Well, why can't you go to the well and get your own? Are you helpless? You look like a strong man to me. Get one of your guys over there to do it. No. She, boom. He asked for the water. And then if that wasn't enough, she's got to volunteer something else. She's got to volunteer to step up and water my camels. Now that's completely off the charts. That's completely off the charts. Okay, it's one thing to give a guy a drink of water that asks you. But then to say, and by the way, I'll water your camels. I'll take care of that for you. What kind of people are like that? Do they exist? In spite of maybe some of the bad associations she had around her, she wasn't like the rest of them. She was cut out of another piece of cloth. And that way I'll know, Lord, that that's the one you've pointed for Isaac. I'll know that's his right woman, and I'll make it clear as a bell. And then we'll have to move on to the next stage. So this girl does this, right? What's her immediate reward? Gold jewelry. She wasn't in it for gold jewelry. But she gets a nice ring and some bracelets, the solid gold. You know, it always pays off in different ways when you apply Bible doctrine. When you do what you're supposed to do. When you go the higher level, you go above and beyond the deal in situations where God puts you in and you're sensitive to it. This wasn't some little female trying to get a guy and all that kind of stuff. She had no idea this guy wasn't marriable. He was an older fellow. And so it wasn't that at all. Okay, she comes out with a wild jar. She does the thing. Gets a drink. She volunteers to draw water for her camels, and I'll keep packing it over there until those 10 are loaded up with water. And the big slough of drinking all this water in the trough, they're all done. And as far as she was concerned, then I was going to fill my jar up and go back home. The whole time, here's this able-bodied male just looking at her. Just looking at her. Watching her. Because, you know, he's God, at this point, God's with me, and God's making it clear this is the one. It's not a done deal yet, but it's very clear that this is who I'm going to take with all these men all the way across the desert, all the way back to Abraham. And the father isn't involved in this. Her actual father, the immediate one, it's her brother. Now, so whatever the deal is, maybe the guy was old and just, you know, Nahor, you run this, okay? You take care of the business. I'm retired and all of it. Could be. So he has his son. He has his son show up, and this is, of course, none other than Laban. Now he really gets. He's a bit character, but he's not a good bit character in the scripture. He's a manipulator. And excuse me. See, he's still not 100% that his journey was successful or not. I think I'd be, you know, somewhere at the 80% factor at least. When the camels had finished, the man took a gold ring weighing a half shekel and two bracelets for a wrist weighing 10 shekels of gold. That wasn't chump change. It was to Abraham. And she gives this girl this gift of jewelry. Doesn't ask her anything other. But the other girls wish they'd have jumped to it. Well, they didn't. She gets the jewelry. Women like jewelry, I understand. That's fine. And then she goes again. Look, we have a lot of straw and we have feed and you can have a place to lodge. You can continue on your journey. This is a maximum. This is a supreme example of showing hospitality even to strangers. We'll take care of you. I mean, today you might do any number of things for somebody. He worshiped the Lord. He makes a proclamation. The girl ran. See, this is the first time. The girl knows who Abraham is, not as a person. She knows about Abraham. That's the story of this extended family, that this Abraham just up and left with Lot. And Abraham had three brothers. One died early, so he took his son under his to his Lot and so forth. So as I explained it to you in the ongoing in Genesis. And when she said, she's listening, right? And here's this guy who's doing his spiritual thing, bowing low and worshiping and saying, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loyal love and his truth toward my master. As for me, the Lord has guided me in a way to the house of my master's brothers. I mean, now the focus isn't on the jewelry or anything else. She's like, bang. We've never had a representative from Abraham's house all these years. They'd sit around and talk, wonder what Abraham's doing. Blah, blah, blah. He went off on this thing where God told him he was going to do this. Oh, la, 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 la. Praise God. Here we are. Blessed. So she said, then the girl ran. See, that indicates probably left her water pot there and told her mother's household about these things. In the excitement. This is sudden excitement for her. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran outside to the man at the spring. Because this is from Abraham's house. And there's a natural indication of interest in what's going on, never having had a visit ever, never having had any news to speak of ever. So he runs out there. And of course, Laban's always keen to, 10 camels loaded with stuff. Abraham isn't a piker somewhere now, is he? This guy's for real. He saw the ring and bracelets on his sister's wrists. And we heard these words of Rebekah, his sister, say, this is what the man said to me. He went to the man, and behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring. Come in, blessed of the Lord. There's your fundy part. We've got to have the fundy part down pat, right? Because that's a part of the angle that these people use when they're fundies. It's fine to say that about God, and he is under normal circumstances, but it's Laban. And it doesn't quite go down your throat real smooth. But okay. We'll go with your blessed as the Lord. Why do you wait outside since I prepared the house and a place for the camels? Okay, that's overkill, Laban. I'm supposed to just know this, but you don't say that kind of stuff. You're Eliezer. And you know that Abraham sternly warned you do not take Isaac back there. Laban would eat him up and spit him out. He'd have him going every which way. Remember what Laban did to Jacob? When Jacob went back there, when he had to flee from his brother, and he went to Mesopotamia, oh, Laban's open arms, oh, here he is, oh, this is great to see you. You don't have anything, do you? Yeah, it's not like the last visit, but anyway. What can we do here? What can we do? There you can. You got an eye for Rachel, don't you? Okay. But you got to work for her for 7 years. You got to work, and the only thing you're going to get out of it's Rachel. I ain't giving you nothing. I mean, probably gave basic food and stuff, but they're going to give you a special wage. So they had a big wedding, set it all up. Jacob, all excited, goes into a dark tent, has sex with this woman, comes out, and it's her sister. How does that work? And there's Laban. Yeah, well, Jacob's just mad as a wet hen. You idiot. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, we'll work it out. You can have them both. See, he doesn't care about his daughters. If it comes between him and making a profit. This is the Laban we come to love and know. He is a believer too. Of course, that's very important to say. He's a believer. He's a Christian, we would say today. A Christian man whose money and getting ahead. When Jacob came there, God had not blessed his business. It was still operative, but it wasn't thriving. It was on the rocks. Jacob took it under God and turned it around. This is another story. So here's her brother. Come in. Laban's got to put on a show. He unloaded the camel, gave straw and feed to the camels, and water to wash the feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Now that all sounds good, doesn't it? And that's important, and it's something you could do. But it's Laban. It always leaves you. But when the food was set before him to eat, he said, I will not eat until I've told my business. You've got to keep these people at arm's distance. We don't embrace these people. I'm going to tell you, I'm not eating a bite of your food until I tell you what I'm here for. Let's get this out in front of us. He said, speak on. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master so that he has become rich. That perks Laban up. And he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and servants and maids and camels and donkeys. In other words, he has been prospered. Laban. Now Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master in his old age. That's unheard of. And he has given him all that he has. He's the heir of everything. Isaac's the heir of all that's wealth. My master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife from the sons from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live. But you shall go to my father's house and my relatives and take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, suppose the woman does not follow me. And he said, and he rehearses this whole thing. Tells him he's free from the oath. Then he tells him he came to the spring. And how he put this out before. And she's the one. And how she did everything on down through it. She told me, she identified herself. I worship the Lord. This is all repeated here. Then Laban and Bethuel replied. Oh, her father's in the picture now. They're in the house, the deal, at the table. The matter comes from the Lord, so we cannot speak to you good or bad. We'll just play it neutral. This is a matter of the Lord. It seems obvious. That's okay. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken. So they comply with this. You can see they're Christians, believers, we would say. He heard it again. He bows before the Lord. The servant brought out articles of silver and articles of gold and garments and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. Then he said, then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night. When they rose in the morning, he said, send me away to my master. But her brother and her mother said, let the girl stay with us a few days. Here's interference right away. Here is interference right away. Isn't this a good example? A mother and a brother. Why don't you just stay a few days? That's an old story, isn't it? I love it. It's in the Bible. It's there for you. And afterward she may go. He said to them, do not delay me. Since the Lord has prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the girl and consult her wishes. Then they called Rebecca and said, will you go to this man? And she said, I will go. Well, that's straightforward. That's called faith. I got faith that God's in this and that I'm going to like this guy just fine when I get there. I'm not worried about what's he look like. Is he going to like me? Am I going to like him? It's already settled. God already made clear this is in. This is perfect. And never laid eyes on each other. A marriage at a distance. I'm going. You know, she had a good life there, I suppose. But she's going to go into a nice spiritual environment now. Thus they sent away their sister Rebecca and her nurse with Abraham's servant and his men. So she had a personal assistant too, called a nurse. That's the best way to translate that. Nurse comes as a medical person, but anyway. So there's two women and 11 men on the trip back to Abraham's house. They blessed Rebecca and said to her, may you, our sister, become... See, this was standard. It is because they believed in the Abrahamic covenant, okay? It was just wishful thinking and people did this. May you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s. And may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them. Have you ever heard that blessing before on anybody? Well, they speak more than they ever knew, because they're speaking about the chosen people whose descendants under the Abrahamic covenant and their future, ultimately their real enemies will be defeated and destroyed. And Rebecca rose with her maids. Oh, we have to add more, don't we? Good grief. We got maids. We got a nurse. We got... So there's more. There's several women at least. And they mounted the camels and followed the man. He's just called the man. That's kind of a cool title, isn't it? And they followed the man. The guy that had it all together, who was willing in his lifetime to serve the great Abraham and take his place and prosper under it. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac had come up from going to Beersheba, Bear Laharoi, for he was living in the Negev. That's the desert area. He's independent now. He's a grown-up young man. He doesn't have to stay at home. Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening. He didn't take his cell phone with him. He's just out in the quiet meditating, an art form that is lost on people today, completely lost on them. No distractions, no noise. He's just out there to meditate on things spiritual. Did Abraham tell him that he'd sent Eliezer off? I don't think so. I don't think he told Isaac anything. I think if Isaac even asked, because Isaac's out of pocket, he's in the Negev, so he's not up there. They knew where he was, and it's close proximity, because God told the patriarchs, you can travel up and down this land, live here, live there. You got freedom to move all around. It wasn't highly populated at that time. So he's out meditating. He's not out chasing women. He's not out partying. He's out there. And probably the very last thing that he ever expected to lay his eyes on, there, in a desert environment, was this gorgeous woman. Last thing. He's just out there meditating on things spiritual. He wasn't even the type, why haven't I got a woman yet? And he wasn't dumb enough to mess around with the Canaanite women. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, camels were coming. Now you can see them at quite a distance, but you can't make out who's on them. Rebecca lifted up her eyes. Now obviously the two parties are coming closer together as the caravan moves closer. She's on high alert. You can imagine, can't you? Can you imagine the anticipation? She probably wasn't bugging him all the way on the trip. What's he look like? Blah, 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 blah. Bothering the man constantly. Because he's not the kind of guy you can bother with stuff. You'll find out when you get there. But I don't think she was the type that was like that. She seemed to illustrate that she had a great trust in God. And that God's going to work this out. It didn't matter what he looked like. Rebecca lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel. She's very, you know, lithe and physically, boom, she just pops down off of the camel. Not splat, she just jumps down off of it. And she said to the servant, who is the man walking in the field to meet us? And the servant said, he is my master. I thought Abraham was. No, he's got a son. He's my master. I serve both of them. Then she took her veil and covered herself. The servant told Isaac all these things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebecca, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Thus Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Sarah's dead at this time. That's how far down and up this was. This is kind of the upshot thing. Sarah never saw her future daughter-in-law in this life. And so, but she had her own tent. And these weren't these crummy tents. I mean, they have nice tents. And they built really nice tents. Carpets, I mean, just really. You've heard that. They didn't live in pump tents and crap. You know, it was nice stuff. So they have their honeymoon in Sarah's tent. That's what it says right here. There's nothing weird about it. It's all perfectly natural. All right, I'll let you go. As I said, we had a deacon's meeting afterwards. Thank you, Father, for the time. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.